developing what could be the military's next generation rotorcraft. I'm Pete Combs, and this is Aero News. It's Monday, September 4th, 2006. Al Waddell is Vice President for Sales at Groen Brothers Aviation, a company you might know as a top-notch developer of gyroplanes. But Groen Brothers is also known around the Pentagon for something different, developing the next generation of military rotorcraft. Al recently spoke with ANN's Jim Campbell about what Groen calls a rotodyne.
We have now completed 8 months out of 15 of our DARPA contract to develop the heliplane, which is a gyrodyne technology.
Can you describe that to our readers?
Yes, a gyrodyne is an aircraft that is powered, has a powered rotor during takeoff, landing, and hovering, but is not powered during flight. If anyone's familiar with a rotodyne, there's a picture of that, of course, in a video, actually, on our webpage. Groen Brothers' webpage is groenbros.com.
What does this mean to you? This is what, a $6.5 million contract?
Well, the first phase is $6.5 million. Potentially, it's $40 million. And of course, we're very proud to be able to have received this. Our company has been in business for 20 years. We've been a public company for 15 years. Our stock symbol is GNBA. And, of course, we've developed the Hawk 4 turbine-powered gyroplane and the Sparrowhawk. But now to be recognized by DARPA is something we're particularly proud of.
If you would, tell us a little bit about Groen Brothers, how it came about, what it's doing outside of DARPA, and then we'll get back a little bit to the future of the company.
Well, Groen Brothers is generally accepted as the leading authority on autorotative flight, which means that for 20 years we've been trying to explain to the aviation community that there's a place for gyroplanes and gyrodynes, and it looks like we're being recognized finally for that.
An overnight success in 20 years.
That's exactly right. The reason that DARPA chooses a company like Groen Brothers is twofold. One is our expertise. The other is that they are interested in transformational technology, and they look to companies, smaller companies, to be able to do rapid prototyping and also to be more efficient, frankly, than some of the larger companies.
Well, you folks originally came on the scene, or at least from a fairly visible standpoint, with a Hawk 4, which at one point, I guess, was piston-powered and then turbine-powered. I flew the turbine version, and tremendous machine. I had a pretty good time beating the air into submission in that thing.
We're very, very proud of the Hawk 4. It is the only turbine-powered gyroplane ever built, and, of course, we did the security for the Olympics in 2002 right here in our hometown of Salt Lake City. It's an ultra-short takeoff and landing, essentially vertical takeoff and landing with a variable collective pitch, and can carry four people at 150 miles an hour.
No, the short takeoff and landing is not to be believed. The thing gets off in a hoot, but the part that's pretty exciting to me is that from a landing standpoint, basically you got enough room to swing the rotors and just a little bit more to flare, and that's it.
That's correct.
Very nice flying machine, too. I really enjoyed having some time with it.
We're hoping to restart that program this year.
Well, that's exactly my next question. Just what is the future to the Hawk 4? To me, that was, I mean, it had just, you know, about 95% of the utility of the helicopter and about half the cost.
Well, it did, and we were well along on our way with that project when a couple of things happened in 2001. Of course, there was an economic downturn with the tech bust, and then there was 9/11, and so we had to put the Hawk 4 on the shelf for a short time. We turned to the Sparrowhawk. First, we did the Sparrowhawk 1, then the Sparrowhawk 2, and now with the DARPA contract, we're looking forward this year to being able to restart the certification and production program for the Hawk 4.
Outstanding. Where do you see the market for that now in light of 5 years past 2001 and the industry is starting to recover in a couple areas? Plus, I would imagine a vehicle like that would have some pretty interesting security implications.
It does. We've always felt that about half of the sales for that aircraft would be in some type of law enforcement, border patrol, airborne surveillance, and certainly that's the case now. These problems that we have certainly affect countries all over the world, and now we're getting a lot of interest from other countries to have a good vehicle, turbine-powered vehicle like that for airborne patrol. The other half is commercial, and of course, there are the obvious uses like personal and corporate transportation, electronic news gathering, traffic and all. But one of the main things that generated interest for it when we were flying the Hawk 4 was in spraying, crop dusters. Anybody that spends their life living within 50 or 100 feet of the ground certainly values an aircraft like the gyroplane that's capable of landing safely from any combination of altitude or airspeed as long as it's in level flight.
Yeah, it says that the auto rotation on an aircraft like this is basically get close to ground, flare, and call home.
That's right.
You're
always in auto rotation, so there's no need to translate into auto rotation as there is in a transmission-based helicopter.
And I imagine the operational cost of the vehicles. If I remember correctly, quite a few years ago, your costs on a par with an equivalent turbine-powered helicopter were about half of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a little less than half the cost of a normal helicopter. It has a 420 shaft horsepower Rolls-Royce Allison turboprop, essentially the same engine as a Jet Ranger, yet the Hawk 4 operates for about $150 an hour DOC, so it's half or less of the transmission-based helicopters.
Boy, you can't maintain most helicopters for $150 an hour in the turbine regime, so that's pretty impressive.
Well, that's correct.
I hope it does have a future. I really enjoyed flying it and saw a lot of potential in the aircraft.
We certainly hope it does, too, and we're looking forward to that this year.
We'll hear more in just a moment. But first, this AeroCast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
When was the last time you checked under the hood of your car? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as simple and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services. They're made of aluminum, so you get the best power-to-weight ratio in general aviation. They're FADEC controlled. What about your new glass cockpit? The engine management system works seamlessly with most multifunction displays, so you can get minute-by-minute updates on just how well your V engine is performing. Add it up. A lighter, more powerful engine. Liquid cooling to reduce sudden temperature changes inside the engine. FADEC control. True glass cockpit interfacing. And an engine that runs more quietly and with less vibration than other piston engines. The AES V220 and V300T. As simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at VAircraftEngine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services. The shape of things to come. Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avadyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft headsets merge the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio into one streamlined design. Clarity Aloft has a noise-canceling microphone optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments like cockpits. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Hear the difference a Clarity Aloft headset can make on your your very next flight. Find out how. Call us at 612-747-3197 or check us out on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to our Aero News special feature, Jim Campbell's conversation with Groing Brothers Aviation Vice President Al Waddell.
Tell me about the Sparrowhawk. We flew that with your folks a couple of times over the last few years. I have not flown the latest iteration, which I desperately need to do very quickly because, one, it looks cool.
Well, we'd like to invite you right now to do that whenever you would like. Of course, the Sparrowhawk is sold primarily as a kit. The Sparrowhawk 2, which we now offer, goes together a little faster than the Sparrowhawk 1, around 400 hours or a little less. And we now offer a fully built version of that, both for law enforcement, and it is available to be flown as an LSA. Pilot eligible for LSA. So we could build ELSA versions of that.
Tell me, where is the aircraft right now from a standpoint? You've got the Sparrowhawk 2 out. If you could describe where it's at right now, what changed from the Sparrowhawk 1, what the capabilities are, and what you're getting in today's Sparrowhawk.
Well, the Sparrowhawk 2 has a lighter weight cabin and other components that are fiberglass. It makes it lighter, which helps particularly if someone wants to fly it as a sport pilot. And the other things have to do with ease of building. There are a lot of the things we're doing now so that there's very little fabrication, if any, to be done by the builder. It's mostly a matter of assembly.
So the aircraft right now, as I understand, is in serial production. And what's the waiting time on something like this?
Right now, with orders placed at this time, you'll get the first boxes within 30 to 40 days, and the balance within 90 to 120 days.
What's it take to build something like this?
Well, we expect 400 hours or less on the Sparrowhawk 2.
Okay, that's come down a bit, hasn't it?
And now, of course, we have 34 dealers worldwide. We're flying in Australia, Russia, South Africa. We just have a new dealer we'll be announcing here in the next week or so in the Philippines. And 20 dealers or a little over in the United States.
Now, this is a two-place side-by-side gyroplane.
That's right.
And you're using Subaru for power plant?
That's correct. It has a Subaru 2.5, 165-horsepower engine, about 500 feet and zero wind to take off and about 50 feet to land. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of fun and safe because it is a gyroplane, which means it can land safely from any combination of altitude or airspeed as long as it's in level flight if you either turn off the engine or it quits on you.
Interesting. Now, this aircraft pretty much came about because you folks looked at some, shall we say, deficits in the sport gyroplane industry and saw a better way of doing things, particularly in regards to thrust lines and things of that nature.
Our main contribution there was the centerline thrust, and I think that's pretty well accepted in the industry now as the safest way to go. Each aircraft, in this case gyroplane, has a vertical center of gravity as well as a horizontal center of gravity. And we align the thrust line of our propeller right on that vertical center of gravity, which makes it very stable. It's dynamically and statically stable, basically, at all power settings.
And that's been a big issue to this industry for quite some time, where those aerodynamic issues were kind of ignored in other places.
Right. Well, it's pretty well accepted now. We just came back from both the PRA show in Mentone and Oshkosh, and in talking to people that are in the industry, centerline thrust is pretty well an accepted fact now.
So now, from there to deep research, that's pretty exciting stuff. It must be a full plate for a company like yours. What does Groing Brothers look like right now? How big is it? How many people? What are they doing?
Well, we're, of course, based in Salt Lake City. As I mentioned, we've been a public company for 15 years. Stock symbol is GNBA. Our web page is GROENBROS, GroingBros.com. We do have 80 employees now. We've added a lot of engineers to be able to do this project, which is basically called the Heliplane by DARPA, and it's to develop and do the trade studies, computer modeling, and rotor design for an aircraft that's vertical takeoff, can hover, and can fly 400 miles an hour for 1,100 miles carrying a 1,000-pound payload.
That's a pretty impressive series of numbers.
Well, it's at least a twofold improvement over any transmission-based helicopters. And what we have here, of course, is with the Rotodyne concept is a non-transmission-based rotorcraft. We use reaction jets on the tips of the rotors, which means you pump air up and out to the tips of the rotors, similar to the Rotodyne, again, which you can see on our webpage, a video of that. And so there's no torque transmitted back to the airframe. You don't need a tail rotor. And the key is that you only use these for takeoff and landing. And once you reach cruising speed with your regular jets, then you turn off the tip jets, which are very fuel inefficient.
Interesting. What's a mission profile for an aircraft like this to be? I mean, what is...
Initially, it is to be a combat search and rescue, the ability to take off vertically and fly over 1,000 miles at 400 miles an hour would give it ability to go, you know, do combat search and rescue.
Boy, 1,000-mile range, can you imagine? That, from a rotorcraft standpoint, you're lucky to get an hour and a half down the patch before you got to refuel.
Well, that's the key to the Gyrodyne. Again, the tip jets are used only for takeoff and landing, and once you're up to cruising speed, or actually once you get over about 65 to 80 miles an hour, you turn off those tip jets and you fly like a pure gyroplane, which gives you efficiency, economy, good distance, and the ability to land safely in the case you lose your power.
You folks have also, for lack of a better word, evangelized this concept for the future of short-haul commercial transportation.
Yes.
As I recall, years and years ago, various gyroplanes or autogyros were taking off of downtown buildings in the Northeast to deliver mail and things of that nature.
That's correct.
Decades and decades ago.
That's correct.
Could we see a renaissance like that again?
Well, I certainly expect so. Of course, we our next step is to develop the commercial side of this concept, and we're working on that as we speak. But as you mentioned, there were 2,000 flights off of the Philadelphia post office roof in 1 year alone with an autogyro flying over to Camden, New Jersey. And we certainly see those days coming again with a commercial gyrodyne.
Boy, that would be a sight to see in this day and age, wouldn't it?
Well, it certainly would.
So the future looks bright for you guys now.
Well, it does, and we have a wonderful team assembled for this project. Of course, Georgia Tech is probably the top rotor wing experts in the world. Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta is our partner in this, along with Atom Aircraft, you know, that do the A-500 and the A-700 in Colorado, and they also now have a plant here in Utah, and Williams International working with us on the engines. They have their turbine plant also right here in Utah, and then we have a great group of support from people like the University of Maryland, NASA Ames, the Army's AFDD team. This is just terrific. We're very excited and confident this is going to be a wonderful program.
Well, Al, we hope for the very best for you. It's always been exciting to watch you because, frankly, ultimately, you guys do cool things. And what's more fun than reporting on cool things?
Well, thank you so much, Jim. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, and we'd be glad to answer any questions. If anybody wants to call in here, it's 801-973-0177, and all the other information is on our webpage at www.grenbros.com. And thank you so much for the opportunity.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Pete Combs. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the airport.